Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Play ball! It's 30 with Murdy with your host, Sweeney Murdy.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back in this episode of 30 with Murdy, a conversation with actor and musician Dennis Quaid. Dennis's solo tour is hitting New York in the days ahead. He'll be performing at Sony Hall in Times Square on November 1st and at Darrell's House in Pawling on November 3rd. Of course, Dennis Quaid's acting career is now in its sixth decade. He plays Dick Vermeil in American Underdog, the Kurt Warner story, and it's due out this Christmas. And his catalog of sports movies is a long one, including The Rookie, The Express, Any Given Sunday, Everybody's All-American, and many more. Where music, film, and sports intersect is where we find Dennis Quaid. For more on his music and film career, on Kurt Warner, Mickey Mantle, Ringo Starr, and others, here is my conversation with Dennis Quaid. So Dennis, November 1st at Sony Hall, November 3rd at Darrell's House in Pawling. That's not too far from where I live. I've been there. Yeah. Have you ever played either of these venues before?
I've never played Sony Hall. I played New York several times, B.B. King's and City Winery. And it's always a great time in New York, really. And, you know, New Yorkers, they tell you just how they feel and, you know, they go with the flow.
What's your set list look like these days?
Well, it's going to be a little different. You know, usually I've had DQ and the Sharks backing me up, you know, the full band. This is going to be just me and the audience, and got to spotlight songwriting, actually, you know, the songs I've loved through the years, going back to when I was 12 and first started playing guitar. And of course, Jerry Lee Lewis, Great Balls of Fire, the song that from that movie that I still continue to play and still find really new and refreshing and just fun. It'll be like songs of throughout my life, and then also some original songs that I've written through the years, some for movies, some just, you know, for myself, and relating to the audience, telling stories and having a good time. And I offer a money back guarantee if you don't have.
that's good to know. Hey, listen, I was reading that one of your influences or one of your likes, idols, whatever you want to call it, Buddy Holly. I'm a huge Buddy Holly fan myself. And I think 13 when I saw the Buddy Holly story. Now, when that gets made, you're kind of breaking into the business. You're a Texan. Were you up for this part in any way?
No, but my brother was.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, Randy was up for it, and I think it was between he and Gary Busey, and of course they went the other way, but you know, Gary did an incredible job. In fact, I just watched that movie recently. It was on, so I watched it from beginning to end, you know, and he did an amazing job, Buddy Holly.
Yeah, there's some phenomenal stuff in there, and I mean, you can see the roots of what he did back then still in today's music, and I think that's why you're an amazing influence even for people, you know, playing music today like yourself.
He was 24 years old when he left us in that plane crash. I mean, yeah. And with the accomplishment that he had, the volume of music that he's left us, it's incredible.
I'll tell you one thing, you can actually see I've walked past his apartment building in New York City. And I found in one of his biographies, they circled the window of his apartment building. I remember walking past it, and, you know, I don't want to sound dramatic or anything, but I could sit there and I could picture him and his wife walking out the courtyard and walking into Washington Square Park and, you know, kind of seeing what they were doing in their last months of their life. It was kind of neat to experience that.
It really means something to you. And he left that in a mark, that's for sure.
I gotta say, I think one of the best uses of music in one of your movies, another one of my personal favorites, you had Sam Cooke front and center in Interstate.
Right. Yeah,
that was phenomenal. Is he one of your? Was that chosen, or is he one of the guys that you like yourself?
Oh, that was chosen, but I've always been a Sam Cooke fan. I mean, who can't be a Sam Cooke fan? That's for sure. You know, his music was just so optimistic and, you know, or it made you think, but entertained you at the same time and made you move and, you know, really American.
So for people that are going to come see you perform, did I read this right? You play in your bare feet?
I did it one time, and I'm here at home in my bare feet. But, I do wear shoes now. I've made enough money along the road that I can afford shoes to play now.
So, good to know. Good to know.
Did that at one time, yes.
So I'm not sure how many people are aware of, you know, how long music has been a connection for you and how long you perform. You mentioned your band, The Sharks, you know, I mean, everybody knows you as an actor. But I got a note yesterday from Mark Chardy, who told me to ask you about your time on The Rookie. When you filmed that in Texas, it was in your contract that you were allowed to play with your band in Austin every Tuesday night. And he said that made shooting scenes with dialogue on Wednesdays particularly difficult.
A little bit, yes. A little bit, it's it, but not all that much. By noon, I think I had it back. My way to get them to use the close-up.
Yeah, not bad, huh? That's so. I mean, this is kind of interwoven with your career. You didn't just become an actor who, you know, then decided to do music. You've kind of been doing this for a while.
Yeah, I've had bands really all my life. I started playing guitar when I was 12, and the first song I tried to learn was Light My Fire. Not a good song to learn if you're beginning. And, you know, but Johnny Cash was a big influence. I mean, of course, the Beatles, Van Morrison, and a lot of these guys that, you know, I wound up meeting and getting to play with and getting to know. Robbie Krieger of the Doors, and of course, Jerry Lee Lewis, who was one of my piano teachers, actually. I have some great stories about him. And stories are going to be, you know, a big part of this. I consider it to really be kind of a piece of theater, really.
You mentioned the Beatles, and I'd forgotten until I looked at this yesterday. You got to be in a movie with Ringo Starr.
Right.
How cool was that?
It was the coolest. I still have to pinch myself about my life. And not only that, but it was like 2 hours drive. This was in Mexico, and it was like 2 hour drive to the set back. It was just me and him in this beat up station wagon for basically, you know, that and shooting were joined together at the hip for 16 hours a day with Ringo Starr. It was something special.
That's a pinch me moment, I'm sure. Listen, I've done a lot of things recently in the last year or so on sports movies. I work at a sports radio station. I cover baseball for a living. I was taken by something I just read. I think Texas Monthly said, you are the true king of the sports movie. They pit you against Kevin Costner, but your volume, your catalog of sports movies, I think people tend to kind of forget just how many you've done in your career. What attracts you to sports movies?
Well, for one thing, you know, there's real drama in sport. There really is, but, you know, whether you're watching a game or whatever, there's the best sports movies are not about the sport, like The Rookie, you know, baseball movie, right? But it really wasn't about baseball. It was about second chances in life. And I think that's what people can relate to and the reason that they are so popular.
It feels like it's, you know, and I think The Rookie falls into this too, but I mean, the best ones have family and human spirit elements involved. I mean, it's not
right.
Just winning the game. That's almost secondary to what these guys are going through.
Yeah. and this circuit, I think it's inspirational to people. It's overcoming adversity, because we all go through adversity in life. And you know, sport really highlights that. It's something you can measure.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, so you told me some of your musical influences and heroes. Who are some of your sports heroes growing up? You're in, you know, you're born in Houston. Sports scene has kind of taken off as you're a kid there with the Astros and the Oilers. And who are some of the guys that you enjoyed watching as a kid?
Well, I'll give you a trivia question. Who was the first person to hit a home run in the Houston Astrodome when it opened?
Number 7, Mickey Mantle.
There you go. That's right. And they weren't even in the National League. That's
right. The exhibition game they played there. Yeah.
He was a big hero of mine. And for sure, Jim Brown was, you know, another one. And another man that I came to know by doing a sports movie with him and getting to know him really well. What an incredible human being, not just in sports, but he transcended sport. Muhammad Ali, I think, would have to be my all-time hero, not just in sport, but in life.
Wow. Yeah. And that's like, I mean, you just gave me a Mount Rushmore of guys. I mean, you know, you picked the good ones. Besides Jim Brown, did you ever get to meet any of the others?
Yeah. In fact, we were doing Any Given Sunday. It would be every morning, because Oliver Stone at that time was not starting work until like noon. And so in the morning at sunrise, we had a foursome playing golf. It was myself, James Woods, the actor, Jim Brown, and Lawrence Taylor. So you had the best offensive player of all time with the best defensive player of all time. And things get very competitive, let's put
That's
it that way.
Quite a foursome, yeah, no doubt about it. You mentioned Mickey Mantle. I want to get back to him in a second, but your catalog of sports movies goes all the way back, and like I said, they're not always about sports, but Breaking Away is one of the wonderful films. I think anyone in my age, especially, I think I was probably like 11 or 12 when I first saw it. You were about 25, I think, when you made Breaking Away.
Yeah, 23, 24, right around there. And you know, we were playing high school kids, and I learned filmmaking on that movie. Peter Yates really took us four guys and really taught us. He's such a wonderful man. It was such an, it holds up to that movie. I watched that one recently, but it's such an American movie, directed by an Englishman and written by a first generation Czech immigrant. And they have a way, I think it works because there's such a charm in looking outside of America in a way. Could kind of see us better than we could see ourselves.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I still use the example, and it you know, fewer people get it when I use it. But when I talk about a pitcher in a game who may, say, a relief pitcher who they kind of have to have finished the game, I always say they have to tape his feet to the pedals. And fewer people get that nowadays.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Life does go on, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Hey, I want to ask you a little bit more about The Rookie, because, you know, it is probably your best known baseball movie. And we talk about a little bit. I love it. It's not just about winning a championship. It's about setting goals and setting dreams. And, you know, so many of these things are about, you know, sports a lot of times about winning championships. This is about just making it there. That is the end result that everybody's really looking for.
Well, you know, it's really quite something it's really quite an accomplishment to get there. It really, truly is, because it's so stacked against you. And, you know, you can be really, really great, but there's all these other extenuating circumstances, injuries and stuff. In fact, when The Rookie came out, Jimmy Morris, at that time, he had gotten a spot with the Dodgers, and it was in preseason. And the last preseason game, he threw his arm out. He cracked a bone on the last preseason game, and that was the end of his career. But it is about getting there. And second chances, sticking with your dreams. You know, it's something for us all to aspire to.
I wonder, how did you model your pitching motion? Did you try to mimic Jimmy Morris, or did you have somebody else?
Yeah. Thank God I was left-handed.
Yeah, right.
But throwing the way he did, I just mimicked that. I hadn't pitched since Little League, really. And Jim Gott, the Dodgers catcher, would, you know, come to my house every other day, and, you know, we'd pitch. And I had 6 months to prepare. And then once a week, great, fantastic fantasy, I would get to go out to Dodger Stadium and pitch on the mound at Dodger Stadium.
Wow.
On that mound where, you know, like Sandy Koufax, Seaver, Valenzuela, Don Drysdale, all those, you know, it was very magical.
That's amazing. I heard also that, you know, you felt you were getting better as the movie went on, that you wanted to redo some of those throwing scenes because you were actually throwing the ball much better later in the movie.
Yeah, well, I never put myself in a radar gun. Really disappointed, but I just wanted to look like I could do it. You know, probably one of the most gratifying things about that movie is the amount of kids, like 12, 13 years old, who come up to me about The Rookie. Yeah. You know, it hits them the way, you know, it hits us. And it's a beautiful thing.
You have some other upcoming projects that are, again, going to add to this catalog of sports movies that you're doing. I don't know a lot about this. I just saw this, but it caught my eye because it's written by Angelo Pizzo, who wrote, for people who don't know, Hoosiers and Rudy, two of the best sports movies of all time. I actually had him on this show about a year ago, and we talked extensively about Hoosiers, but he has something called The Hill, which you were, what can you tell us about that?
A baseball player who's, you know, had a disability, who tries out for it's all about trying out and, you know, his ability, his incredible ability. He couldn't, you know, he couldn't run to first base. He would need a pitch runner for that. But and his story, it's a father-son story. I'm playing his dad, who was a preacher back in Oklahoma. And it's quite an amazing story of never giving up.
And I mean, when do we see that? When does that happen?
I haven't made that yet. I'm going to start that about 2 months here after the tour. And Kurt Warner story is coming out on Christmas Day. It's called American Underdog. I play Coach Dick Vermeil in that. I'm sure people remember Kurt Warner in the 2000 season. He played for the St. Louis Rams. He started out the season, actually. He was a walk-on. He started out the season. He was stocking grocery shelves. That was his job. Yep. And he ended the season winning the Super Bowl. It's, talk about a Cinderella story. It's pretty amazing.
I was going to ask you about that. I kind of describe that as the rookie plus, because that's not just, that's not coming from that. I mean, the rookie is coming from nowhere and just making it. This is coming from nowhere, making it and hitting the top, winning a Super Bowl, and almost, you know, he's a Hall of Fame candidate.
Yeah. You could not do a fictionalized story of this. Nobody would believe it, but
So in preparing to play Dick Vermeil, how much crying did you have to do?
He's a very emotional guy, you know. What a wonderful human being. What a great character that he has to him, you know. And he has a winery vineyard out in up here in Northern California, and he sent me a case of wine when he saw the film, and I took that as a very good compliment. He just makes great wine too.
No kidding, man. He's a very talented man. Lovely man. I remember when he was doing announcing college football games, he used to speak to him every once in a while. So insightful. I want to get back to that project you do with Angelo Pizzo. Has he happened to mention to you, because this is one of the things that really stood out to me in the conversation I had with him. He says, you know, he's written Hoosiers. He's written, he says the best thing he's ever written is a Mickey Mantle biopic that hasn't been made and has kind of been in the hopper for, you know, 25 or more years.
How can that be?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've actually seen it. Dennis, I've seen the script, and it's, you know, listen, I don't know movies like you know movies, but I can see how this would be one of these movies that we're talking about. Has he talked to you about it? Old Mickey Mantle, frail Mickey Mantle? It sounds like something that might be up your alley.
Well, I think I'm a little past even the old Mickey Mantle. I don't think we can go out there and do it again. But, you know, it's... I remember him and Maris, you know, where it was the deal. And it was like, I was really mad that Maris is the one that broke Babe Ruth's record. You know, 3 games later or whatever it was, but ever wanted Mickey Mantle to be the dude.
And in 61, you're 7 years old and you're following that all the way down in Houston, huh?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, everybody idolized the New York Yankees, you know, secretly or whatever. It was just their force. I mean, 1 in every 4 World Series has been, the Yankees have been in historically. I got to match that.
Do you still follow along? You still have favorite things that you like to watch or people you like to follow?
Yeah. I've been a Saints fan, really, I'm from Houston, since the Oilers lost to Buffalo that time. And, you know, they left Houston because of that game, which it took me a long time to get over. But I've been a Saints fan for a very long time. Way back, even before Drew Brees, back when the, you know, Kenny Stabler and they had the no-name Saints, where people wear bags on their heads to go to the game.
Many days, right?
Yeah. I love that organization.
How about baseball? You still follow the Yankees? You an Astros guy? Who are you there?
You know, the Astros. I'm still an Astros guy. I just am. And you know, back when they were the Colt 45s, I remember every member of that team, and certainly inspirational to me as a kid growing up.
Are they? Did the scandal they went through turn you off at all? Because I find in sports, it's always like, okay, they might be cheaters, but they're our cheaters. We still love them. That kind of thing.
Yeah. There are cheaters, you know, they're like, you know, your kids, you know. I was very disappointed. Yes, of course I was. But, you know, life goes on. And, you know, that's part of sport, too, is redemption.
And this might be it, right? I mean, they're on the run again.
Could be. Yeah, I can see it happening. We've got a great team.
So what are, you know, you're obviously still very active in making movies. Do you have a dream project, whether it's about an athlete or a sports story or a musician that you're dying to make?
Well, I got the rights to the Charlie Pride story.
Oh,
a couple of years ago. And Charlie, unfortunately, passed with COVID last year. And he's an incredible story. You know, he was a baseball player, and he tried out for the Mets with, you know, as well. And he could have been in the Hall of Fame as a baseball player. He's one of the greats to ever play the game, really. And he has such an amazing story, such an American story that's very unique.
He actually, he was obviously a big baseball fan moving forward too. I know that I've seen video of him inside the Texas Rangers clubhouse, you know, just performing for the group in spring training or before a game. I mean, he still kept that connection.
Yeah, he's still going to spring training every year. You know, he was 86 years old, and he's still every year he's there at spring training. That's his love of the game.
So how close are you to maybe getting, you said you have the rights. How close are you to kind of putting this together?
We got the rights, and the script we just completed, and we're going to be making an announcement here very shortly.
That's great. Are you on board to produce, direct, play a part in it somewhere?
Producing. This is really, I think even though I've been listed as a producer before, this is the first time that, being like a real producer, I went out and, you know, and met him and his beautiful wife, Rosine, and really got to know them and, you know, kind of nurtured this thing from the beginning.
That's phenomenal. And it's kind of both, you know, it's a sports and a music movie, as we just kind of talked about. Is there another, you know, you've kind of moved into the idea of, and, you know, naturally you've moved into playing coaches more than you've been playing athletes in these years. Right. Are there any great sports stories that you still want to make?
That's a really good question. There's a golf story with a group of Latino kids back in the 1960s, you know, who weren't allowed to play they were a team and playing at these country clubs that they weren't allowed to join in fact, they even made their own little golf course to practice. And it's a fantastic story about, you know, breaking barriers and character. And so some of those unsung stories, I think, who were unsung heroes, you know, back then, and people have forgotten about, that need to be reminded of. Those are the kinds of things that I'm looking for.
Sounds fantastic. Listen, I don't know. I know November 1st at Sony Hall, yeah. November 3rd at Daryl's House in Pauling. I might be able to sneak out to Daryl's House if you can promise to throw a Buddy Holly track in there. We'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. Just for you, man. Come up and say hello. And like I said, I guaranteed good time or your money back over there. It's going to be great to see people get out after all we've been through. And we'll just relax, have a good talk, listen to some music, some laughs, and it'll be great.
I think that's what they call rock and roll, Dennis.
That's right.
My thanks to Dennis Quaid. Looking forward to those upcoming performances and films on the way. If you're new here, please check out the 30 with Murdy archive. Recent conversations include a chat with Amber Sabathia on her new role as an agent following her husband CeCe's baseball career, and a look back at the 1961 Yankees in a show hosted by Howie Rose on WFAN 30 years ago, with long-lost interviews with Mickey Mantle and Mel Allen. You can get all of these and more at Odyssey, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hit subscribe and review and all that jazz, and until next time, I'm Sweeney Murdy. Thanks for listening.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.